Constructicons, it's time to rise up. Oh, hi, this is writer Tyler Blazinski, and you are listening to All Things Transformers. Enjoy.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me in this adventure into All Things Transformers is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, so, this is actually going to be our last episode of 2020.
You know, because for some reason, we can't get off the Transformer train.
Uh-huh. You know what? Next year is going to be a lot of Star Wars. I haven't told you this, but studio is going to have a lot of Star Wars next year because I have a plan.
Mando?
Sort of, but not really.
Plus all the other Star Wars stuff.
Oh, you have no idea. I'll tell you off air.
Okay. I'm scared already.
as you should be. I have my computer back. I can actually do shit again.
Yeah, you're scary when you have your computer. I'm not afraid of you when you don't. Anyways. So this episode of All Things Transformers, we're going to touch on Transformers Earthrise. It's not going to be a full-blown review because I'm waiting for Optimus Solo and Mike to see it first. I have, and this is recorded on December 28th, I have heard, I was on the AllSpark forum and I was like, you know, it's on Netflix. I can get screeners. And on AllSpark's Discord page, they were like, we're watching and we're going to do a spoiler, blah, blah, blah. The only thing they told us not to spoil is the ending of episode 6, which is literally the last like 10 to 15 seconds. I had no such notice, but I think it's because they're spoiling it on the 28th, whereas I will not be.
Yes.
This is being released after the 20th, yes. After okay. The 30th, and so yes, therefore, yes, yes. It can be spoiled.
This is Transformers War for Cybertron Earthrise. The second chapter of the War for Cybertron trilogy will be released December 30th, 2020 on Netflix.
Yes. So by the time you hear this,
New Year's Eve. Yeah.
Yes. So with that being said, I'll be covering some of that. I'll be covering some of the Transformers Headmaster's English dub. And no, it's not professional. It's fan dub because they're actually back in action, which cool. I'm excited about. And then, of course, some other Transformery news, whether it be comics or other aspects. So that being said, what do we want to tackle first, Mike?
I think we need to get the non-spoiler teaser thing out of the way with Transformers War for Cybertron Earthrise. So,
okay.
Spoilers.
Let me ask you this before you get into your overall opinions of it. Did the promotional, the screener, whatever you want to call it, did it include all 6 episodes? Or did it include like episode 4 and episode 2, like the Animaniacs thing?
Well, unlike Hulu... when Netflix gives you a screener, they give you the screener. You actually get to see the entire season.
Cool.
Because when I saw Lost in Space, when that came out, Netflix let me watch the whole thing. The only difference between Hulu and Netflix is Netflix puts the date you accessed it, mm-hmm. the time, and your email address stamped across the top.
Right.
So should you screen cap these,
yes.
They will know it's you.
Yes, you should do that.
So same thing for anybody that decides to rip the video. There are ways to do this.
Yeah.
And it should not be done.
Because
for one, if you're already paying for Netflix anyway, you wait 2 days, you get it for free.
And that's the thing. Like you've offered this to me, you know, well, you don't get it for free. You're still paying for it, But you've offered this to me before in the past because you wanted to jump the gun, not just necessarily jump the gun, but you wanted to be on the ball with maybe getting out an early review of something. And I'm like, no, that means I have to log out of my account, log into this other account. I'm like, I'll just wait and do a full spoiler review after the fact.
Yeah, but that being said, like I enjoy getting the screeners, and I saw, like I said, AllSpark had it, and I was like, you know, I can get this too. and so like they were dropping, like they still have, like the guy that was doing it and had right. access has only seen the first episode out of it all so far, and I was like, it's not telling me anything that I'm not going to know from episode one. Because he was kind of keeping it minor, non-spoilery, right. wisdom spoilers. And then because you get a spoiler tag that you can use in Discord. So anyways, that all aside, they make out the trailer to be what it's not in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. I expected it to be a little bit different than where it went. They kind of open on the precipice of, you know, how everything was left off in the last season, you know, the absence of the AllSpark, the dire circumstances, you know, Megatron's trying to figure out how to escape the dying world, where, you know, they don't have factions anymore for the most part. Cause mm-hmm. you know, you have Alita One that's running the Autobots now, along with Jetfire and a multitude of others left behind. But for the most part, I mean, they're trying to, they have an audience with Megatron at one point. You come to find out that Megatron doesn't exactly want to do what's going down in this. Right. His hand has been forced by Shockwave, much like the first episode, or the first season. And, Shockwave is the actual megalomania guy here in this season, kind of pulling the strings with Megatron, and Megatron has to remind him, you know, look, I'm in charge, but there's really no other way of going about it, because Shockwave kind of forces Megatron's hand to get Project Nemesis going. Because without, so what it amounts to is they have to harvest, in a way, what Beast Machines Megatron did.
Gotcha. Yes.
They have to harvest, and that's what's being used to power the Nemesis.
Hmm.
And because there's not enough energon on Cybertron, including the arc is running out. They do still have the annoying slow speech. In a lot of ways, Galvatron does talk faster than Megatron and has a slight difference, and it's the same actor doing both. So it's fun hearing him play off of himself. Still not a fan of Soundwave's voice. They have a brand new intro for this season, and I actually rather like it. They have some communication stuff with holograms on arms, and it looks actually really cool. Almost reminiscent of the High Moon Studios, graphics.
Very cool.
Pacing seems a little bit better. You get to see a Junkion ship, like the twirly type ship at one point. One of my dislikes was the copies of character bodies that they use for the third faction that kind of shows up, the mercenary faction, which is led by Double Dealer. They did something pretty interesting. They have a Nebulon space bridge. And Nebulon, like Nebulos type thing, kind of teased much earlier. And you get to meet Scorponok. And his giant form. He's not a headmaster, but he's definitely a dysfunctional robot that has, in a lot of ways, a lot of dysfunction, because a lot of the problems that happen in the Transformers in this particular series are caused by the Quintessons.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Scorponok is one of the only one of his race remaining of the Scorponoks.
Oh, interesting.
Which is kind of cool. I don't remember, was RC in season one?
RC?
Yes.
I don't think she was for a half of a second. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, she's predominantly in this, and she's on the arc.
Cool.
Which makes no sense when you think of season one and two.
Well, I mean,
it is what it is. I don't care. She could be in stasis for all we know. So anyways, we get to see a flashback with Alpha Trion with the Matrix and showing, you know, Magnus, Prime, and Megatron all being more or less the ones that Alpha Trion's like, you three will reunite Cybertron, blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, obviously it didn't happen. You get to see Skylynx and Alpha Trion kind of duking it out for a while, and Alpha Trion banished Skylynx to the Dead Zone.
Wow.
Because he wanted the Matrix.
All right.
So he gets to see what real power is. They have a lot of cool portal jumps and dimension jumps in this. Skylynx kind of is there to mentor Prime and showing him, you know, this is the path you need to take in order to not become Nemesis Prime. And, you know, you will die at some point and pass the Matrix on to another. And more or less shows, you know, this is how it's going down. You know, if you follow your path, you're going to die. Whereas, you know, Galvatron is there showing Megatron, look, this is where your path will take you if you don't kill Prime now.
Right.
And then you do, I don't know if they showed in the teaser Unicron.
Briefly in the teaser trailer, because people have had images of him all over the internet since that last teaser trailer came out.
He's literally in for 5 seconds, long enough to say, you know, something about your treachery.
Unicron.
Well, more or less, he does like a, you know, your treachery type thing. Yeah. Comment.
All I can think of is when
witness your dismemberment.
Yeah, no, not that. When John Noble played him in Prime.
What is this I sense? The taint of Primus?
That was hilarious. That was horrible writing.
No, that was great writing. I love that
line. It was great. Oh, it's a terrible line, though.
I love that line.
Primus is sick.
Yeah, so anyways, it kind of shows, you get to see Galvatron materialize in the way that he was created in the movie, the 86 movie. He materializes to Megatron that way, and he also is taken out by Unicron that way.
Dang.
Well, he's being pulled back to his own dimension. He's like, it's only a matter of time before, you know, my master pulls me back. And but they do tease the golden disc. Galvatron does that before he is whipped away, shows Megatron that. So it basically leads to how Beast Wars Megatron finds Earth in the first place.
Sweet.
What's funny is when they come out of this Dead Zone portal, they appear by Earth.
Oh, wow.
And the mercenaries are the ones that come out of there after. And that's why the ships are both damaged to the point that they crash, is because that ship is blown up. There's the one Quintesson, though, is kind of interesting, that he you remember the line from the first movie, give me your face. Yeah, he cuts all of the other heads off.
Oi.
Because all five of them are not able to come to a consensus of what to do with the Autobots.
Oh, at one point.
And so the one cuts off the only like stable face, like the one crazy one that's like evil looking with the red, and cuts all the other faces off. And so they become the only face. So they're like, we are at consensus, you know, and so they're kind of trying to destroy the Autobots and Decepticons. So, but yeah, one of the cool things is Shockwave can cloak when he's fighting Alita One. Albeit temporarily. And then they end the season with Dinobot watching the Ark and the Nemesis crash land on the planet. And you know that because he comes out of the woods and his eye changes to a picture of him zooming in on the Ark. And then it fades out. There's no voices or anything for the Beast cast or anything. But yeah, I mean, graphically, it was CG without calling back to the actual Beast Wars animation.
Right.
So I look forward to seeing what they do visually with the Beast cast and using modern CGI, because I feel like they'll get a little bit more of that realism in there, a little bit more of that detail and information that they were unable at that time in the 90s. I just hope that they don't make it like super wonky looking, which I doubt they will be, because I mean, looking at the rest of the Autobots and Decepticons, they look pretty much how they should, like blocky. And so right. I think that they'll do them justice visually. It's the vocals that I worry about, but I think visually, I think we're going to be all right.
Cool. Awesome.
But yeah, that's kind of my spoilery filled. Obviously there are things I left out. I'm just going off a bullet point, but it'll be interesting to converse once the two of you have seen it.
Oh yeah.
And kind of go through it. But definitely an improvement over the first half or the first part of the trilogy, I would say, in a lot of ways. Cool. There were some slow elements in it too, but I feel like that they got through a lot more jumping around between different storylines, that it kept it going enough that you weren't going, okay, is this done yet?
right, yeah.
I disliked the Cybertron side once they'd all left the planet, though. It wasn't my favorite part at all. I was kind of like the part with Alita and Shockwave, I was kind of like, eh. but the rest of it, I was kind of involved with caring about. So, but yeah, that aside.
Very cool, very cool. So we had mentioned that we also have some news things, and I remembered, hey, I got an email the other day. So I'm on IDW's press list, and I get emails for the regular weekly, oh, these previews are now on the server. I also get these solicitations are now on the server. I have the, what they're calling this, I think it's January. So it came out in January. It's essentially the March 2021 solicitations. And I'm only obviously going to talk about the Transformers one because, hello, we're not a Turtles or whatever other podcast, at least not this one anyway. So Transformers in, I believe it's March. I just want to make sure. Yes, March 2021. So these books will be out in March of 2021. Transformers number 29, written by Brian Ruckley. Art done by Anna Malkova. War World Titans. Sentinel Prime has a secret, something that could change the fate of Cybertron, something that Megatron wants. It's a battle for control of the Forge as the Autobots and the Decepticons come face to face in battle for the first time. And then Steve's favorite,
Beast Wars
number 2, written by Eric Burnham, art and colors done by Josh Burcham. Celebrating 25 years of Beast Wars, the Maximals, led by Optimus Primal, and the Predacons, led by Megatron, have crashed on a strange new world, and they are not alone. To survive the planet, much less each other, they'll have to explore their surroundings and their new bestial alt modes in search of an advantage. The Beast Wars begin here. And then we also have Transformers Escape. This is the new 5-issue miniseries. This is for issue number 4 of that series, written by Brian Ruckley. Art and colors done by Beth McGuire Smith. As Wheeljack, Hound, and the others lead the evacuation efforts, they learn that one of their allies has secrets of their own that could ruin the whole escape plan. Meanwhile, the Decepticons search for the renegade Insecticons, but who's really hunting who? So yeah, those books will be out in comic stores and online digitally in March of 2021.
I'm not sure what I think about the escape ones.
It's an IDW miniseries. Sometimes their miniseries are good, sometimes they're not. I'm excited because I'm interested to see what the story is. I haven't actually kept up with all of the solicits on that, but it's obviously something we'll cover at some point, whether it's you and I or me and somebody else.
True, true.
What other news items do you have, sir?
Well, You sent me a video earlier.
Yes. Our other good buddy, video reviewer buddy, Pia. Pia is the guy that back, I think it was 2009, 2010. He was coming from where he lives to Kentucky to visit other family members, and I had won his YouTube contest or whatever, and I won basically a free Transformers Animated Rodimus figure from him, and he delivered it to me in person.
Nice.
If you go back to, I think it's GCR.
Was it GCR or Toycast?
It's a bunch of them. He's been on a bunch of them, but mainly I had originally had him on, I think it's GCR. Yeah, it's GCR episode 17, where he and Optibotomus and I talk about YouTube way back when. I might have to actually fix that audio file so we could actually, you know, post it in the show notes or whatever else. But essentially he's one of the big Transformers reviewers on YouTube, and I had not seen if Optibotomus had done a Megatron review yet, but his showed up, and I'm like, oh, cool, I'll watch this. And I'm like, well, it's Megatron, I gotta send it to Steve, because, you know, he's Megatron.
Yeah, I was impressed.
Yeah, that face, man, that head sculpt is amazing.
Oh yeah, it's on par with the masterpiece. Mm-hmm. The head sculpt.
Yeah.
The legs and some of the, I was rather surprised by the fact that the joints and the bottom of the foot was just unpainted or mm-hmm. bone color. Like, it was just weird. But yeah, I mean, I was definitely down for it. It just cemented the interest.
Cool.
So yeah, and obviously I'm looking forward to the Beast Wars comic.
Obviously, yes,
it's
gonna be interesting and fun and cool and all that good stuff
in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, there's that. I think it's funny that they're still doing the Transformers 84.
That didn't end yet?
No, they're still doing it.
Really?
Yeah, because in February they're having 84 Legends and Rumors. It's a 100-page issue.
Hmm.
Expensive. It's representing the classic stories that inspired the series. So obviously it's got Marvel's number one, Man of Iron UK, number 9 through 12, which that was in the American one too, just later on. And then the 84 number 0 one shot.
Right. So is it just a reprint or is it new stuff?
I think it's a, companion book that kind of explains it. I think it's, what does it say? Some events, others remain shrouded in mystery, only resurfacing as snippets of the real story. Their Legends and Rumors, the perfect companion book to the Secrets and Lies miniseries, representing the classic stories that inspired the series. So okay, it sounds like it's showing what drove them into it.
Okay, so Transformers 84 Secrets and Lies was a 4-issue miniseries.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and they have that as a collected edition. I'm looking at it here on Comixology, and it's a pre-ordered. When's that going to be released? So if you want to get the collected edition of Secret Lies with all the issues, it'll be $14 on Comixology, and it releases January 27th of 2021.
Well, and they use the art on the cover of mm-hmm. the 84, like, issue one type style.
Right, right. Yeah. And what you're talking about is Transformers 84 Legends and Rumors 100-page giant. That is $8. It is also coming out January 27th of 2021.
I'm more interested in the Beast Wars.
I know you are.
Megatron. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yes. I have plans for you.
I await them off air.
Depending on what he looks like and what he says, you could actually essentially do a comic reading of Megatron.
and Waspinator.
Well, true. As long as Waspinator's there, I assume he would be.
He will be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would definitely do it.
Very cool. Very cool.
So yeah. And then they have War World, which looks interesting.
Is that what I just like, mentioned? Is that the comic thing, or is that something?
It's else? A comic thing. Yeah, it's probably a part of the ongoing though.
Yeah, that's what I just mentioned. Issue 29.
Well, it starts at like 25 or 26.
Right, it probably does.
Yeah, it starts at issue 25.
Yeah.
Cool. But yeah, and then because it's 25 years of Beast Wars next year.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously it's funny that it corresponds with my panel.
yes, your panel at
Iacon Online. Yes, which I'm looking forward to. I've got to get some information put together, but I know what I'm going to do.
Cool.
And visually in the PowerPoint to make it look on point. So it's funny because they mentioned on T-Formers the concept designs for some of the old McDonald's toys.
Yep.
Because obviously, you know, we've got, you know, the actual figures, the kingdom, the masterpiece that is slowly coming out, and some of the generation stuff. There's some, you know, stuff that was shown in the McDonald's presentation binder. You know there were that the Maximals led by Optimus Primal, they were known as the Cyber Beasts. And Optimus Prime was their leader.
Ooh, strange.
It says, additionally to other alternative McDonald's promotions were being considered, the creature auto rollers and vehicle auto rollers. And it sounds like that there's still some stuff that's coming from T-Formers on it. They were going to have a Megatron that turned to a gator. Buzzsaw, which was ended up being Torka, the turtle that transformed. And then they had Scorpion, Scorponok. Optimus Prime was the bat. Optimus Primal. Prowl was going to be a type of it looks like almost like a baboon or a cat of some kind. Like it doesn't really show. They were going to have a lion character, which looks like Leo Convoy, which was another Optimus Prime consideration. And the differences of some of them were the auto rollers was they would feature wheels underneath. And then they would gradually transform into robots, which was some of the stuff. What's funny is Cheetor looks like it was going to be Prowl to some degree, which is funny to me. Then the vehicle auto rollers, they were going to have a Prowl that looked like these vehicle auto rollers look atrocious. And then they were going to have, because they had different levels of, you know, age recommendations, they had PVC toys, which feature the heads of characters in an untransformed state. And so when they flip it over, like stand it up, basically the head cracks in half. So you'd have like an Optimus Prime that would crack in half and he'd be in his robot form.
Very cool.
They had a sea turtle that they were going to do as Megatron in one of the renditions, which looks absolutely ridiculous. They were going to have a Manta Ray that turned to Optimus Prime. They were going to have Dragonfly to Megatron. They were just like hyper focusing on Megatron and Optimus, but Lizard to Iguanus, which that they actually made a toy of. Panther, that's what the animal was, to Prowl. Then they had, of course, the auto rollers, which were basically the same thing. I'm scrolling down to see if I can see anything else. It looks like all of them, but it's kind of interesting to see the ones that they went with. over the ones that they didn't. I don't know. It's just really interesting to see the designs that almost happened as of a McDonald's thing.
Right, right.
But it does explain the original two pack of the Bat Primal and Gator Megatron.
Very cool. Yeah, that is awesome.
That happened before, you know, obviously none of these were featured and used for the TV series, which thankful on that.
Yeah, very thankful on that.
You know, and some of them appeared later as Beast Wars toys under different names or same names or, you know, similar product line like Scorponok and stuff like that. But yeah, it's weird seeing some of it. So the other thing that I was going to bring up is the Transformers Headmasters. And for some may not remember Headmasters all that much, even though, you know, I mean, it's basically the Japanese continuation season 4 of G1, and they've never ported it over.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly enough.
So
most of you that have heard my story know how I got involved in podcasting was because of TFCOG and the Transformers Headmasters fan dub, which I started in 2005, and it's still going. We still have not broken episode 10 yet, because it's gone under three different production groups with a couple of the same people that were involved in all of them. They started 2005. I became Scourge when they, and I was able to perfectly replicate the G1 voice actor, which I love the fact that I can do it. It was from the Rebirth three-parter, though, that I do it.
Oh, very cool.
And I can do his voice like spot on. And the fun part is, you know, I'd auditioned for, and I was looking back at my auditions because for some reason I still have all my audio files from over the years.
Because we don't get rid of anything. It's like, you know, and don't get me wrong, I appreciate all the advice, but when I didn't have my computer for a year because it was in storage, people are like, well, just, you know, use your phone and edit that way and do this and do that. But yes, but I have 11 years worth of, I don't want to have to go back and grab. One shall stand, one shall fall. I don't want to have to go back and grab that again when I have it in a folder in a storage unit in Illinois. So again, so thankful that I have my computer back and that I can actually do the stuff that I need to do the way I need to do it. So yes, we keep stuff for like 12 years of audio at this point. But yeah, anyway, sorry.
So I'll give you the video teaser with the information for the episode post.
Right.
So anyways, the guy that's running it now, it's Prime Productions, you know, unofficial Transformers fan dub.
Right.
So they have come to this point now where it's been long enough. Cause I was looking, I was like, when was the last episode? Like, I honestly could not remember the last time I recorded one. for the Headmasters project. And I was like, okay, I have my files for episode 7, which I recorded in 2011. I have my files that I did for, let's see, when were these recorded? Okay. Cause I had some redos for episode 8. I was looking and the last time I recorded was February of 2012.
Wow.
That was the last time an episode came out.
Wow.
And I mean, I get it. Life hits everybody. It's the same reason the Dark Glass projects never had the light of day. Like I'm trying to work on that on my own, but it's one of those things that, that don't make it make it easy on you. No. So anyways, a few years later, I think, Shout Factory was doing the Headmasters release on DVD. And we did a redub of episode 3, which was probably the strongest with the old cast and new cast kind of mixed in there. And they were like, okay, we can't get half of these actors anymore. Cause either A, they're professional now, or B, they just don't aren't available. So I ended up playing the roles of Chrome Dome Daniel, I think, Cup, Scourge, Weird Wolf, among some others, and I think Skullgrin for that redub. And that was fun. And I think that was the last time that I ever did anything with the project because they haven't had any. Well, I was excited because the guy that's been running it, and I met him at TFCon back in 2012, which was awesome. And they're working on episode 9 and 10 simultaneously. Cool. And so they finally got around to it and they're like, yeah, so currently we're casting for characters appearing in the Transformers Headmasters fan dub beyond episode 9, which is where we are at production of the series. We have several episodes worth of scripts ready to be recording as soon as additions are completed. This is a long-term production. All finalists will be expected to commit long-term to their characters and remain in contact for future episodes that are produced. Microphone quality is an important factor. In casting, we may also request alternate takes in a closed audition and to test your commitment to the role. And then they have a deadline of January 24th, 2021 at 11:59 Pacific Standard Time. So this round was a high amount of Decepticons, which, I mean, I've already got Scourge in the bag. He's mine no matter what. Unless I, you know, something happened to me, but
don't jinx yourself.
Yeah, I know. So anyways, back when I originally was trying for Scourge, I auditioned for, because some of these names are going to pop up again. I auditioned for Frenzy, Goldbug, Onslaught, Rodimus, Rumble, Scrapper, and Ramhorn. What's funny about this is, granted, my voices back then sucked. Because I listened to the original clip and I'm like, yeah, that's not going to do it. not only was the audio quality bad because of I had that desk microphone, not the Yeti. But I was like, I've gotten so much better since 2005, 2007, 2008. Yeah. So anyways, the Decepticons they're going for is Mind Wipe. Which they're still looking for a Bela Lugosi voice, like similar sounding voice. So I did my own impression of it. So I tried that. They got Weird Wolf open for interpretation. I think I tried that one. I tried my own Skull Cruncher, my own Onslaught, Brawl. I think I skipped Blast Off. I know he's got an established voice. Astro Train, they were looking for like a Zarkon from the original Voltron type series.
Jack Angel, because yeah. Jack Angel played Astro Train.
So they're looking for that voice type of thing. And I was like, I don't think I can do that. But I probably will still try it anyway. And then the worst that'll happen is they'll hate it and they'll move on. Because Galvatron sounds nothing like Frank Welker's Galvatron. They kind of kept him more with the Nimoy sound for the Headmasters, which honestly I like more. They have Dead End. I don't think I went for him either. I did audition for Rumble. And I did Frank's voice the best I could anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping I get that. I auditioned for Dive Bomb, Tantrum, Headstrong, and Razor Claw. I auditioned for Hotspot, Defensor, Silverbolt, and Superion. The funny thing is, Defensor, I have it spot on with the original voice actor.
Cool.
Because they told me as much. And then they have a couple of the train bots, like the bullet train bots, like Suikin and Midnight Express and some of the robot guards. So anyways, that's all they have for right now. They're going to have another audition with the Autobots later on that aren't in this. But I think this is just to get them through episode 9. But I thought that this was pretty cool. I was like, oh, so I can dip my hand back in the Transformers world, do some voices. So I'm hoping I get some of them. I know that I impressed them to some degree. So if I even get one, I'll be ecstatic. If I get more than that, I'll be just like super ecstatic, even though it may take like a couple of years for them to come out. I'm still available for Beast Wars Megatron. Do you hear me? Do you hear me, FJ DeSanto? Do you hear me? Rooster Teeth and Netflix. Beast Wars Megatron.
I think what you really need to be doing is Beast Wars Megatron. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Well, as a matter of fact, I can. Yes.
Yeah, so anyways, they need to do that. They need to get me for that, and they need to get Chris McFeely for Dinobot, because, like, honestly, he's spot on. If they're not going to go for union. Although, yeah. I'm hoping that they break for that for the second part. I really do. I know they won't, but I wish they would.
It is what it is. I mean, you know what? Before I even found that out, that it was non-union actors versus union actors, I was still fine with what Jake and Jason are doing with Optimus Prime.
No. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm saying the Beast cast.
For the Beast cast, I know. Yeah.
That's where I feel like it's going to fall apart more.
So speaking of the year that was 2020, I figured since this is our last episode, since we are releasing it on New Year's Eve for 2020, I figured we would go back through the year and see how many episodes we actually did. We started 2020 in January with episode 168, where we talked about expensive Transformers, the 90s to 2020. We then went to Cyberverse Season 1 and 2. We will eventually get to Cyberverse Season 3 if it ever shows up on Netflix. I know the series is on Netflix, but I'm just waiting for the rest of it to show up.
Which is funny because Hasbro basically treated it like the, you know, redhead stepchild of the franchise, even though they could have done great things with it. They just kind of treated it like, it's just a crappy Netflix or a YouTube show.
Yeah. We talked about the new Transformers TV that is. We did our Siege full-on spoiler review. We did the anniversaries episode. We did Where Does Hasbro Get Those Wonderful Toys? Two Origins episodes this year. My good friends Jonathan and Maggie Schaefer-Hames, along with our buddy DJ Valentine. We started the new IDW Transformers universe. And now we're, you know, talking about Earthrise and Kingdom and whatever. So, yeah, I mean, from 168 to 180, that's not bad. Almost 12 episodes in 1 year. It's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
So, absolutely. 2021 is going to be very, very interesting to see what happens with Transformers, whether it's Beast Wars, whether it's Generation 1, whether it's IDW, whether it's whatever. I'm sure Hasbro has a bunch of things up their sleeve. So it's going to be really, really interesting.
What'll be interesting and really nice is to see how much Beast Wars has an impact on the franchise this year.
Yep.
Because it's been 25 years since it was out originally.
Yep.
The funny part is not only because of that, we get to see whether that makes a positive impact on the franchise. Because I mean, you know, and I'm going to mention this in my panel too, is Transformers has gotten kind of stale. Like they're running the same thing again and again and again. And the only way that it's actually deviating is with Beast Wars.
I think the thing of it is, though, Hasbro has to market to back in the 80s, they marketed to us kids. There were, to my knowledge, not many adults I knew in my family and in my friends' families were watching the action cartoons of the 80s. It was us kids that was watching the action cartoons of the 80s and 90s. So now that it's almost 40 years later for G1 and 25 years later for Beast Wars, oh God, I'm old. You know, they have to cater to not only the kids, like for you specifically, you're more of a child of the 90s. But anyway, the point is, you were born in 86. By 96, when Beast Wars came out, you were 10 years old. You were just like us back in the 80s, waiting for that cartoon to come on the TV. You were a kid then. You've now grown up. You're an adult. You're married. You have two children. And at some point, don't know when, but at some point, I'm sure you'll probably pass the stuff on to your kids. At the same time, with those of us, not me, obviously, that grew up and went on to have families and whatever else, well, Hasbro, oh, these are kids from our kids that were kids back then. So we have to cater to them. So we have to give them something like Rescue Bots that's kid-friendly. Then we have to give them something like Prime that's for the collector generation. So there's multiple generations of fans for Transformers at this point. And Hasbro has to cater to all of that type of stuff. They can either cater to one or the other, you know.
But why do they have to compromise is kind of why I kind of wondered. Like,
that probably boils all down to budget.
Well, and this is my thing. We had one line at Beast Wars.
Right.
I was, you know, even my brothers were like, you know, 5 and 8. And, you know, when I was 10 and... or 5 and 7, and they loved it just as much. It's transforming animals. You know, what's not to like? And so I feel like I feel like part of Hasbro's problem is that they feel like they have to segment into multiple iterations. Now, yes, with this Netflix series and the Machinima stuff, no, that is not kid friendly at all. But I feel like everything that's come before it, other than Prime, you could have shown to your kids and been fine.
Yeah, probably.
So, like, again, I kind of wonder what is Hasbro's big holdup and why they keep going dipping back into the same pool. I get it that Primal and Prime and Megatron and... you know, Bumblebee, they're big money makers, and that's what draws people in. But I think that they've put their eggs too far into that basket instead of like, and I get it. Like, they introduced Slipstream and people just lost it, myself included. But it wasn't for the same reasons as fans. Like, I'm not a purist of G1. I have no problem with new characters being in it. Cause like, I know the Beast Wars comic, they're going to have like, basically Night Scream in there and or like Optimus, it's Onyx Primal. I know it says Nyx, but it's Onyx. They just cut the name. But you know, or Spitter, or you know, some of these other characters may show up. And so like, I don't have a problem with that, honestly. Like, I didn't have a problem with the Ascending or the Gathering comics where they had all the people that never actually showed up in any of the series, or that were in Beast Wars 2 or Beast Wars Neo. So I didn't have a problem with any of that. It was more so the, when they start screwing heavily with the originals or, you know, and honestly, like the Ascending and the Gathering had nothing to do with the original Beast cast. And I was perfectly fine with that. Even though it was continually trying to rip Megatron from the timeline.
Right.
And failing miserably. But, you know, I guess where I'm coming from is they can afford to take some chances. And if they need to test the theory out in comics, I feel like that's the more budgetable avenue other than, you know, doing it in a cartoon. But
yeah,
I think that, I mean, look at how many Transformers movies we've had live action that were just utter turds. Like, the first movie was good because it was the first of its kind. After that, like, the Bumblebee movie was good, yes, because they went more standard with the designs instead of way out there.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they kept it as close to the, you know, chest as they could have and had it as G1 as possible with the playground they'd put themselves in.
Yeah. You know, I'll say this. years ago when Animated came out, I was not. You guys can go back to the old episodes of this podcast.
Oh, I hated it too.
What the hell? But you know what? In retrospect, and getting to finally see the screen, the complete series from Shout Factory, I actually really enjoy Animated for what it is because it tried to tell a story. It used the G1 characters, but it used them in a way that it created its own mythology to it, and I thought that was cool. Same thing with Prime. No other cartoon series in Transformers history decided to put Unicron as the center of the planet and basically is saying that the entire Earth is evil because at the core of it is this evil, evil thing that wants the taint of Primus.
What is this I sense? The taint of Primus?
You know, it's stuff like that where a cartoon comes out and says, oh, hey, by the way, this is not your kids' Transformers. This is for you people who grew up in the 80s who want a more serious, dark Transformers. And I, you know, there were certain aspects of Prime that I'm not that big on. But overall, most of it, I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, it had a lot in both directions. So I think that we kind of got a little bit of everything.
Right. And the same thing I've been saying all year long now when we covered Cyberverse Season 1 and Season 2. Cyberverse, to me, even though it was a YouTube 10-minute kind of episode thing, Cyberverse, to me, is a Transformers cartoon that any generation can watch. Kids can watch it. Adults can watch it, and they can enjoy it for what it is, because it applies to all of us. Yes, it's not Peter Cullen. Yes, it's not Frank Welker. I'm actually glad it's not, because it's somebody different in there who gets to kind of make their own mark on the voice, whether they're trying to do a Peter Cullen impression or not. I just was so refreshed with Cyberverse when we talked about it earlier this year. And I'm excited for the War for Cybertron trilogy. I'm hoping, not necessarily that it goes on to do more, but I'm hoping that Hasbro continues to go in the direction that they've gone with Siege and with what Earthrise is going to be. Because, as we said at the beginning of this podcast, we're recording this before the actual second chapter of the War for Cybertron trilogy gets released on Netflix, even though you guys will hear it after the fact of it's already released. I'm excited, man. I'm really interested. I'm glad that we're doing the comic stuff. I can't wait for us to do the Beast Wars stuff. You know, it's an interesting time to be a Transformers fan.
Totally.
Absolutely. All right, Megatron, get us the hell out of here.
How dare you, Maximal scum.
Do your damn job.
Oh, bloody hell. Where's my spark extractor? I will extract your spark.
It's hiding in your bathtub next to your rubber ducky.
Sad but true. Until next time, be excellent. Yes.
Anybody home? Do you know who I am?
I know what you are. That is enough.
Bring me the ugly one.
Oh, come on.
We'll jack this. The future is unwritten. Focus your mind. Take us to the AllSpark.
I hate to break it to the Decepticons, but they've already won the war.
Not yet, they haven't. There's still some spark left in my circuits.
I'm so glad someone on our team can fly!
You'll never escape this dead place. You must stay on the path for a much darker future awaits.
I will guide you to your rightful destiny. You will kill Optimus Prime and take the Matrix for yourself. I don't trust you. Good. Never trust anyone.